And now we go to Hirvatsky Noachide, who is a great JTFer, who writes, and I quote, "Can you give specific examples from the Hebrew text of the Torah which prove the necessity and divinity of the oral Torah?" Unquote. That's a great question. I can make it a very long answer, and there are some JTFers that would probably enjoy the very long answer because it's a great question. First of all, let's define oral Torah and written Torah. The oral Torah, Torah She Be'al Peh in Hebrew, is the Mishnah. The other word for it is the Mishnah. And that basically is the 613 commandments and explaining the 613 commandments. The written Torah, which is the first five books of the Bible, the written Torah, Torah Shebichtav in Hebrew, that is not the commandments. That's just the books of the Tanakh, of the Bible. And by the way, there are people who have a wider definition of Torah, not just to include the first five books of the Bible, but to include the entire Bible, the entire Jewish Bible, the entire Tanakh. There are some people in the broader sense who refer to Torah as including the Nevi'im, and Tehillim, Nevi'im, all those books they include. So, and that's how I define it. The written Torah is the Bible, and the oral Torah is the 613 commandments in the Mishnah. Okay. Now that we've tried to define this, and I hope people will understand what I'm speaking about, it's impossible to read the written Torah, to even read the written Torah without the oral Torah. And I know this is difficult for people who don't read and speak Hebrew, but in the Hebrew language, when you don't have something called nekudot, nekudot mean points, but it really means vowels. If you don't have nekudot on the words in Hebrew, on the letters in Hebrew, there are words in Hebrew that have multiple meanings that can mean completely different things, diametrically opposed things. And so there is no way for you to understand what is written there. First of all, the mitzvot, the commandments, are not clearly explained at all in the Bible and in the written Torah, because it's not meant to be. That's not where it's meant to be explained. And you cannot perform even one out of the 613 commandments. There's 613 commandments. It's called Taryag Mitzvot. Mitzvot means commandments. Taryag Mitzvot. 613 for the Jews. Seven commandments, at least seven commandments for the Gentiles, for Bnei Noach. At least seven. Harambam says that if they want to, they can also, there are many other commandments that they can also observe. But there are 613 for the Jews. And you cannot perform even one out of the 613 commandments, not even one, without the oral Torah, the Mishnah, explaining to you what the commandments mean. You can't even read what it says there. The reason we know how to read what it says, and it's translated into other languages, is because of the oral Torah putting nekudot, putting vowels on the Hebrew words. Otherwise, you'd have Hebrew words with several different possible meanings, and there'd be no way to comprehend what the real meaning is. We would not be able to keep kosher. We would not be able to observe the Sabbath and know what observing Shabbat is all about. We would not be able to know the written Torah does not explain anything about tefillin, about the laying tefillin, or any of the other commandments, or the chagim, the holidays, or the korbanot, the sacrifices. You have to have the oral Torah to explain it. Okay. Now, having said that, in the Charedei yeshivot, yeshivot are the schools, yeshivot are schools where Jewish students learn about Judaism. And the Charedim are the non-Zionist or anti-Zionist religious Jews who have never really accepted the concept of the state of Israel, the land of Israel, Jewish sovereignty. They were against the creation of a Jewish state. And they were just wrong, historically wrong again and again. And they were proven wrong before the Holocaust when they told the Jews in Europe not to go to Israel. And the Jews who stayed in Europe, the vast majority of them went to the gas chambers and ovens, unfortunately, in the death camps. Hashem Yikom Damam means God should avenge their blood. And so it's a very sad history, but they still haven't learned. And they still don't believe in the land of Israel, the state of Israel. They still treat Israel as if it's another neighborhood in Brooklyn. In other words, you live in Israel, okay, you live in Brooklyn, It's the same thing to them. Something very interesting, a very interesting distinction we can make, and it involves oral and written Torah, it involves this question. In their yeshivot, in the yeshivot of the Haredim, they don't study the Bible. They don't study the Bible because it's too complicated, it's too holy, it's too much for young students to comprehend things like Yeshayahu, Isaiah, Yirmiyahu, Jeremiah, Yechezkel, Ezekiel. It's too much for them to possibly, or books like Sefer Shoftim, the Book of Judges, or Sefer Melachim, the Book of Kings, or Sefer Shmuel, the Book of the Prophets Samuel. It's just too much for them. So they said, this is too holy and too much, and we can't, and it's just too complicated. So they focus only on Talmud and Gemara. Talmud and Gemara means the explanations of the Mishnah of the oral law. They only study oral law. Most of the students in the Haredi yeshivot don't even know what it says in the Bible. They don't know Bible. They do not know Bible. They know stories from the first five books of the Torah. That they know, because we read that in the synagogue every Shabbat. But outside those first five books, once you start going into Yehoshua and beyond, Yehoshua is Joshua, the book of Joshua, and beyond in the Bible, the other books of the Bible, they don't know what it says there. Most of their rabbis are not really familiar with what it says in the Bible. Most of their rabbis don't even really know much about the Bible. And that's pretty pathetic, in my opinion. On the other hand, the Jews, what is called the knitted kippot Jews, the Jews that have yarmulkes, that have kippot, that are knitted, those are the religious nationalist Jews. Those are the ones who believe in Jewish sovereignty, who believe in the land of Israel. Those Jews, in their yeshivot, do learn Bible. And you'll see something very interesting in history. You'll see that the Jews who studied and learned Bible in their schools are the Jews who became Zionists. They were the ones that supported Israel and supported the Zionist movement when there was a struggle to create a Jewish state, and then after the creation of a Jewish state, they're the Zionist Jews. The ones that don't, you could see a clear distinction, the ones that don't learn Bible are the ones who are not Zionists. Because if you read and study the Bible, the Tanakh, the Word of God, the Divine Word of God, you will see, unless you're blind, you see clearly that the Bible, it promotes zealously the concept of Zionism in the land of Israel. You have to become a zealous Zionist if you read the Bible and believe in the Bible. And so the great rabbis who studied Bible and believed in the Bible, they were the Zionist rabbis, like Harav Kook. They were the Zionist rabbis. Whereas the rabbis of the various sects that don't study Bible and that didn't study in the yeshivot and don't teach their students Bible, they're the ones who were not Zionists and to this day are not Zionists. Because they're not even familiar with the Zionist message, the clear, zealous, enthusiastic Zionist message and Zionist prophecies of the Tanakh. So, that's how you make a distinction in history. The Sephardic Jews, for instance, who lived in Arab countries and Muslim countries, they were very Zionistic. The Sephardic Jews, the Mizrahi Jews, they were very Zionistic because they studied Bible and Tanakh. They didn't have this thing, you can't, Bible, Tanakh, nishkit, it's no good. No, they didn't have this thing that the Jews in Eastern Europe and other parts of Europe created, where we can't study Bible, it's too much, we gotta only do Gemara, which means Gemara, by the way, the Talmud is the Hebrew word, and Gemara is the Aramaic word, it's the same thing. That's the rabbinic commentary, rabbinic explanations of what it says in the Mishnah being the oral Torah. Now, having said that, and by the way, even the evangelical Christians who distort and mistranslate the Bible and whose view of the Bible is completely distorted, I mean, they believe, I don't know how anybody could read the Jewish Bible and think that it says that, and thinks that it refers to Yeshu, that God, you know, the Christian concept that God would become a man and be born of a virgin. I mean, this is pure in the eyes of Judaism, in the eyes of the Torah, in the eyes of the Tanakh. You couldn't have a more a purer form of avodah zarah, of idolatry, than this. I mean, this is pure idolatry. To say that God would, that the infinite God, who is unchangeable, who is indivisible, who is all-powerful, that the all-powerful God becomes a human being and dies on a cross and is born of a virgin, and it's so absurd in the eyes of anyone who really knows Tanakh, who knows the Bible. But even the evangelical Christians, with all their distortions and all the and they deliberately mistranslate in order to try to force, they have what we call forced translations, where they try to force you with the translations to believe that they're referring, that somehow the prophet Yeshayahu, the prophet Isaiah, is referring to Yeshua, is referring to Jesus, which is absurd. But they try to force you, and even with all their distortions and all their mistranslations and all their misconceptions, even many of them become Zionists, become Gentile Zionists, because of the clear and overwhelming message of the Tanakh, of the Bible, that we must support the land of Israel, and the Jews must be in the land of Israel, and this is the mission, this is the great mission that God creates for the world, for the Jews and for the righteous Gentiles, to make sure that the Jews are in the land of Israel and they have and we have Jewish sovereignty over the land. This is the key to redeeming the world. But anyway, having said that, let's get back to something specific about your question. You're asking from the Hebrew text of the Torah. I'll give you one quote, okay? Just one example, which clearly proves in the Torah that the oral law, that we're commanded to follow the oral law in the Torah. I hope I can find it now. Let's hope I can find it. Let me see here. Let me look. I'm going to look at Mechon Memre. Let me see. Can I? I think this is. Yeah, this is it. Okay. We're going to look in Sefer Devarim. Sefer Devarim is the book of Deuteronomy, which is the fifth and final book of the Torah, of the five, if you count only the first five books of the Torah, the book of Deuteronomy, Sefer Devarim, and it's going to be Perek Yud Zayin, which means chapter 17. So it's chapter 17, Deuteronomy. And let me make sure they have English here too, so I can translate this properly, because their translation. Okay, well, we'll manage. It's going to be verse 8, Pasuk Chet. So it's Sefer Dvarim, Perek Yud Zayin, Pasuk Chet. I'm going to read it in Hebrew first, and then we're going to read it, and then we're going to translate it in English and explain in English what it says. So it starts with verse 8. And it continues until the end of verse 13. Okay, let me read it in Hebrew first. Ki yipaleh mimcha davar lamishpat, bein dam ledam, bein din ledin, uvein nega lanega, divrei rivot bishearecha, vekamta veyalita el hamakom asher yivchar Adonai Elohecha bo, uvata el hakohanim haleviim veel hashofet, אשר יהיה בימים ההם, ודרשת והגידו לך את דבר המשפט, ועשית על פי הדבר אשר יגידו לך מן המקום ההוא אשר יבחר אדוני, ושמרת לעשות ככל אשר יורוך, על פי התורה אשר יורוך, ועל פי המשפט אשר יאמרו לך תעשה. לא תסור מן הדבר אשר יגידו לך ימין ושמאל, והאיש אשר יעשה וזדון לבלתי שמוע אל הכהן העומד לשרת שם את אדוני אלוהיך, או אל השופט, ומת האיש ההוא, וביארת הרע מישראל. וכל העם ישמעו ויראו ולא יזידון עוד. That's the end of the quote. Okay, let's give the English here. If there arises a matter, I'm not giving you the exact quote. I'm on the site of Mechon Mamre, and I'm reading the English, but the English is, I'm going to try and make it as clear as possible. If there arises a matter too hard for you in judgment, it says too hard for thee in judgment, for instance. I'm not going to get the thee in there because there's no need for that. Okay, if there arises a matter too hard for you in judgment, between blood and blood, between plea and plea, between stroke and stroke, even matters of controversy within your gates, then you shall arise and get up onto the place which the Lord thy God shall choose. In other words, it's saying in the first verse, if something comes up and you don't know the answer, there's a question that has to be decided involving some controversy or some fact of life or something where you need to know the halakha, the Jewish law, and you don't know what to do, you don't know what decision to make, you've got to get up and go to the place which the Lord thy God shall choose, which is, of course, Beit HaMikdash in Yerushalayim. Beit HaMikdash is the holy temple in Jerusalem. That's where you got to go. The reason it doesn't say Yerushalayim, it doesn't say that here, it just says go to the place which the Lord thy God shall choose, is because at this point, this is being told to the Jewish people while they're in Sinai, while they're in the Sinai. Moshe Rabbeinu is conveying this message. Moshe Rabbeinu is Moses. He's conveying this message in Sinai while they're still in the desert, and they don't know yet about Yerushalayim, about Jerusalem. They don't know yet about where Beit HaMikdash, where the Holy Temple is going to be. They have no idea. They have the Mishkan, which is the tabernacle in the desert, but they don't know where Beit HaMikdash is going to be. Okay. And then it goes on to say, and you shall come unto the priests, the Levites, and unto the judge that shall be in those days, and you shall inquire, and they shall declare to you the sentence of judgment. In other words, you go to the priests, the Levites, and the judge. The judges are the judges of the Sanhedrin. The Sanhedrin. The Sanhedrin is the court that was appointed in the Sinai. The first Sanhedrin was appointed by Hashem, by God, and Moses in the desert. So in other words, this is part of the commandments, creating a Sanhedrin, and the Sanhedrin are going to be in the Beit HaMikdash, and they're going to issue judgments. You got to go to them, you got to go to these judges and ask them what to do. And they will decide these issues. They will decide between blood and blood, between plea and plea. In other words, when issues and controversies come up and you don't know which way to go, you got to go to them and ask them what the answer is. Okay. And you shall do according to the tenor of the sentence, which they shall declare to you from that place which the Lord shall choose, and you shall observe to do according to all that they shall teach you. In other words, you're going to do exactly what they teach you to do. You're going to do exactly what they tell you to do. And again, these are people that are appointed as the judges that were originally appointed by God in the Sinai Desert, and then eventually others were appointed, and you had one Sanhedrin after another, and they were appointed. And these are the judges in the Holy Temple. They're the ones who are going to tell you what to do. That's the oral law. When you have sages, rabbinic sages and judges and leaders, who, whether it's priests, whether it's the priests or Levites or the judges in the Sanhedrin, this is the essence of oral law. This is the essence of oral law, which, by the way, the oral law was given to the Jews at the same time as the written law. When Moshe Rabbeinu went up to Mount Sinai for 40 days, he didn't go up there for 40 days just to get the first five books of the Bible. He went up there to get the first five books of the Bible and the Mishnah and the oral law. So the oral law and the written law were both given by Hashem, by God, to the Jewish people at Har Sinai, in Mount Sinai. Okay, now, it then says, according to the law which they shall teach you, and according to the judgment which they shall tell to you, you shall do. You shall not turn aside from the sentence which they shall declare to you, to the right or to the left. In other words, you're not going to go to the right, or, and it says to the right hand here or the left. It doesn't say hand in the original. It just says, the original Hebrew just says, yamin usmol, right or left. In other words, you don't turn. You don't get off. They tell you to go, you're going to go exactly and do exactly what they tell you to do. You're not going to go to right, you're not going to go left, because Hashem is giving them the power to make a decision when it comes to issues like this. They're the ones who are going to have the power to make this decision, because somebody has to make decisions when you have a controversy or a question, or the people don't know exactly which way to turn. Somebody has to make a decision, and so Hashem authorizes them to make these decisions. And you go and do exactly what they tell you to do, and you don't turn to the right or to the left. Okay, that's oral law. That's the oral law. And that's what you're being commanded to do. And then it says, and the man who does not, it says here presumptuously, that's a bad translation. because in the original Hebrew it says bezadon. The man who does, they don't want to say bezadon because they want to be politically correct. I don't know what the reason is. But anyway, it's the real Hebrew says, and the man who does with evil intent, in not listening to the priest that stands to minister there before the Lord your God, or unto the judge, judges Sanhedrin, even that man shall die, and you shall, it says here exterminate, I don't like that word. And it says, and you will burn, meaning eliminate the bad from Israel. That's the real Hebrew. Uviarta haram Yisrael. That's the real Hebrew. Okay. So in other words, if somebody, you have to obey the oral law to the point where if you go to the right or the left or don't obey, there's a death penalty for someone who disobeys, because that can cause chaos and problems and threaten the whole Jewish people. And so you've got to follow those laws, and the maximum possible penalty is actually a death penalty for someone who defiantly and with evil intent, it says Bezadon, with evil intent, someone who with evil intent insists upon defying the ruling. There's a death penalty for somebody like that. Okay. And all the people shall hear and fear, and not do with evil intent anymore. In other words, it'll be a deterrent to people to prevent them from doing evil and making sure that they follow the laws. So in other words, we have a system here set up where the Jewish sages, the Jewish scholars and sages who follow the oral law, they're setting this, they're the ones making the decisions, and you must follow what they say. And if you don't, God in his Torah is commanding that the people who don't do it and insist upon not doing it and defy and with evil intent defy the rulings of these oral law judges, if that happens, the penalty for that is death, which is you can't get more serious than that. And this is what God and Moses are commanding the Jewish people in the Torah itself. And that is the system that was set up. Now, we don't have a Sanhedrin anymore because the Holy Temple was destroyed, and we don't have the Sanhedrin anymore. We're going to have it again. And we're going to have the Holy Temple again as well. But this system was set up, and this Sanhedrin, where do you get all the comments, and where do you get all the people who gave us the Mishnah and who gave us the Talmud? These were the people on the Sanhedrin, the people who were appointed to this body of judges that were commanded in the Torah to follow. And if you don't follow them, there's a death penalty for someone who defiantly and with evil intent refuses to follow them. There's a death penalty for that. That's how serious it is. So in other words, there's no question that there is a very stringent commandment that we have to follow what it says. And this is, again, the oral law, the Talmud, the sages there, the people who gave us this were people on the Sanhedrin. Most of it comes from the Sanhedrin. And all of the laws and rulings in the Mishnah come from Mount Sinai itself. And again, this is written clearly in the book of Devarim, the book of Deuteronomy.